Blog Talk Radio.
First Peter 1:15, as he which is holy, which has called you, is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, or in all manner of living. Hallelujah. And the only way that you can do that is when you fall in love with Jesus.
Separation. Separation from sin, separation from the world. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14, which says simply, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Be ye holy, for I am holy, God says. If we expect to have the Holy Spirit dwelling in our lives, it makes a lot of sense. We must be holy. Holiness really means being Christ-like. Holiness means every aspect of living for God. It's a privilege to be holy. It's a privilege not to be bound to sin. It's a privilege not to be addicted to alcohol. It's a privilege not to be addicted to smoking. It's a privilege not to be bound by lust and bitterness and envy. It's the most powerful thing in the world that when somebody treats you wrong, instead of treating them wrong back, you can say, look, nobody's going to manipulate me. Nobody's going to tell me how to think. The devil can't make me do this. No other person can provoke me into an ungodly situation. But through the power of the Holy Ghost, I can respond with a meek and gentle and quiet and peaceable spirit under all circumstances.
Well, don't y'all over there think that y'all say you can't do this, you can't do this, and you can't do certain things.
It don't matter
how long you talk to them. Until they get a revelation of who God is, they're not going to understand what holiness is. This salvation in Acts 2:38 is not a must. I mean, it's not a maybe. It's a must. It's not just an optional way, another plate building to get into and just say you're a believer. But it is the only way to travel and to become a true, full-hearted believer.
Praise God, children of the Most High God. Thank the Lord for what He has done on this wonderful and miraculous day. For this is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. We thank the Lord for everything on today. We have a special guest on the program today, Brother Matthew Scott Singe, the founder of Road to Redemption Ministries. He's out of Florida. I have all the information on him on the website, on the program website. And if you want to call him or talk to him in reference to his ministry, you can feel free to do so. He has a wonderful book out called The Word the Church Seems to Be Ignoring. His book is The Word the Church Seems to Be Ignoring, the Word, and that is true. At this point in time, Brother Matthew?
Yes, sir.
All right. I just wanted to make sure that you were there. Is the sound good? You hearing us okay?
The sound is perfect, my friend, and what an honor and a pleasure it is to be here today.
All right. Praise God. I'm happy to hear that. Well, Brother Matthew, I'm going to turn a corner. I'm going to allow you to open up with prayer, and then we'll go from there.
Thank you, sir. Heavenly Father, I just thank you. I thank you for this opportunity. I thank you for opening this door. And I just pray in the matchless name of Jesus that who you choose to hear. But I pray that every year will open up, and I pray that your name will be magnified, exalted, and glorified, Father. Right now, in the name of Jesus, Father, I ask you to hide me behind the cross and let nothing come out of my mouth. You speak through me, Father. Allow the Holy Spirit to work through and guide and teach and provide wisdom. And, Father, let it be your name only that gets magnified and glorified. And I ask these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you for that prayer. And now we're going to go into our program on today. Now, the subject of our program on today, people of the Most High God, is Repent America. And the reason I'm saying Repent America, the Lord put that on my heart to bring this out. And one thing about this country, the nation, our nation does not have a problem with praying. Our nation does not have a problem with works. Our nation does not have a problem with going to church. Our nation really doesn't have a problem with giving and supporting people and helping poor people and feeding people, thank you, Jesus, all over the world. When there is a problem anywhere in the world, America is there. I commend our nation on that. America is there for helping everybody. But America got a problem. And the problem that we have is repentance. Look like we can do everything, but when it comes to repentance and making a true heart change toward God, that's where we have a problem. We'll go to church. We'll pray. We'll do all these things. But when it comes to repenting toward God, that's where the problem is. And when I say repenting toward God, that means change. That means turn around. That means if you were doing something erroneous, if you were living a lifestyle that was contrary to God and Christ, contrary to the Word of God, contrary to the Spirit of God, that means you turn to God. It doesn't mean that you go to church, but you don't change. That doesn't mean that you read the Bible, but you don't adhere to the Bible. You see, we're talking about a repentance to America. Now, this country, and I'm just talking a little bit, and my brother, he's going to come in because he's had the program, and he's going to go as the Lord leads him. But we're talking about repentance. That's what we're talking about. We're not talking about going to church, okay, although that's important. We're not talking about just sitting in the pew. We're talking about repentance, which means a heart change. That's it. That's basically all I'm going to say. Just opening up a little bit. Think about this thing. Think about it. We talk about all this stuff that's happening in the country. We talk about all the violence. We talk about all the immorality. We talk about murder. We talk about all these. We talk about the different thefts. We talk about all these different things now. How did we get here? How did we get here? Matthew, go ahead, brother.
Well, you know what, Bobby, I want to thank you so much again for allowing me to speak on this subject. And I want to elaborate just a little bit further. You said America has a problem, and we certainly see that. And mm-hmm. I really think that if you want to get down and dirty, and mm-hmm. folks, I'm not familiar with your audience, Bobby, but I want to make sure that they understand that. If you guys are looking for a pat on the bottom and a hug and say, hey, welcome to our church, and I'm going to love you, and I'm not only going to love you, but I'm going to give you truth. So this message may sting a little bit, but it's what needs to what needs to occur, because I think the problem with America is that you're right. They're the first ones overseas, they're the first ones that want to be recognized. They're the first ones that will go to prayer. They're the first ones that will do all these things. But the problem is God. They have a problem with God's righteous standards. And we continually try to bring the righteousness of God down to our level. Mm. And we turned repentance into and muddied it into remorse and just feeling bad. And then I mean no disrespect with this, but then we've turned repentance into saying a little prayer, and that means we're in. And that's not biblically true. That's not historically true. And with your permission, we're going to be talking about that and elaborating on what repentance is biblically. But we're also going to be talking about what repentance is not. Now, to open up the idea, open up the field, Charles Spurgeon said it best. He said, sin and hell are married unless repentance proclaims the divorce. Now, amen. Folks, I want you to understand what Pastor Montgomery said was absolutely true. Repentance is not just getting your act together or to fly straight, okay? It is not only turning from your sin, but the desire to actually hate the sin in itself, okay? So, I mean, many think the word repent means to get your act together or to get religion or to fly straight, as if we could. We can't do anything on our own. Folks, amen. I want you to understand, we can't take the next breath without God's grace and mercy, okay? Repentance yes. requires taking in a whole new point of view. So instead of looking at things our way and see how we perceive it, which the Bible clearly says that we are not supposed to do in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, okay, we need to start looking at it God's way. God simply asks us to turn. This is the way we accept his gift. When we do, certain outcomes are promised. But it's not about what we get. It's about what Jesus did. Okay? If we don't, or if we turn back, alternate outcomes are promised. And seeing those are the things that, that I have seen in my humble walk since my release from prison. And we'll get to that. And I know we raised some little ears that may be out there that say, hey, what, this, huh, this guy went to prison? Yeah, I was a police officer. I ended up going to prison. And but for 40 years of my life, I was walking. I was brought up in a Christian home. When I was a kid, I went to church every Sunday. I said my prayer before we ate. We did all the things, quote, quote, that you're supposed to do. And then at the age of 7, my mom, who previously, prior to me being born, worked in the White House, she worked right next to Lady Bird Johnson on the beautification project. This is the same woman that at the age of 7 molested me from 7 until I was about 12 or 13 years old. This is the same woman that sat in church on Sunday singing hymns to God all the while living her way, okay? And these are the things and the ideas that I grew up. And as they went stronger, God was continuing to call me to repentance, to understand his word and his wisdom and his ideas, okay? But all the while, I'm saying to myself, well, if God wants this and this and this, and I'm doing all these things, why are all these bad things happening to me? And that is the message that the American Christian Church is planting in people's ears today. Okay, they say, oh, all you have to do is come down here and say this little prayer and you're in. Mm-mm. Sorry, folks, that's not the way it works. When you go down there and if you give, and I'm not making light of an altar call, but what I am saying is that is the beginning of your journey. That is not the end. That isn't even the middle way. That isn't even really the beginning. It's like how a baby crawls before it walks, okay? And so these are some of the things that I would like, with Pastor Montgomery's permission, this is his wonderful radio station, these are the things that I would really like to hit on. So, Pastor Montgomery, if you have any questions or if you have any concerns, if not, I'd like to move forward.
Well, Brother Matthew, go as the Lord leads, because this is what is needed. I heard what you said earlier, and this is the key right here to what you said earlier. You went to church all the time. Your mother was involved in church. She was in high office. In other words, everything looked good from the outside. But inside that home, it wasn't all that good from what you just said. So that's where we're going with this. Repentance involves true repentance from the heart. It is a daily walk with Christ Jesus. It's a daily walk. It's not like you say, you go down to the altar, you do a light, you say some words, then you leave the altar, and there is no change. No, no, no. You're blessing me, Brother Matthew. Go ahead. Go ahead.
You know, and you're so right. You're so right. And folks, I want you to understand that this is so important. And it's and this subject alone could have eternal consequences, because without repentance, you're going to be in big trouble on Judgment Day. It's not for me to say that you're going to go to hell, but you're going to be in trouble on Judgment Day if you die in your sin. For the Lord says it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Okay?
Amen.
And I want you guys to understand, I don't want you to believe me. I don't want you to believe me. I want you to be a good Berean, as we are supposed to do, as it says in the scripture. Okay, I want you to take everything that you hear today, everything that God puts on your heart, everything that God is working in you, and I want you to take it back to scripture and say, hey, I listened to what this guy says, but now let me go back and make sure what he says, it matches scripture. Because so many, I've been into a few different churches. I've had a pastor once, not too long ago, tell me, he said in a sermon, we are no longer sinners because we are covered by the blood of Jesus. Folks, doctrines like that will send you to hell. And folks, hell is a very real place, believe it or not. Just because you say you don't want to believe it, doesn't mean it doesn't exist. And all who have no repentance in their life, all who refuse to come to Jesus and confess and forsake their sins, are going to be in a place which very, very clearly describes hell. And please, I know that Brother Montgomery, I know that I and everyone with my ministry, especially, which, I mean, look at the scripture. It says that God wishes none to come to death, but all to come to repentance and have everlasting life. So I hope this message today touches your hearts, but I also hope that it digs deep into the heart. I hope it cuts your heart open. And by because we know, okay, that this is a heart condition, okay? And we know that scripture says that a man's heart is naturally evil. Okay, we want to tend to run to our desires. We want to tend to run to our thinking, okay, and our righteous standards. And we want to be comfortable with what we have. I had a woman that told me not too long ago in an outreach in Wesley Chapel, Florida. She looked at me and she said, Matthew, I hear what you're saying. You're so passionate, but you're wrong. And I say, okay. I say, you know, I'm wrong. Okay, where am I wrong? And she said, well, our God is a God of love, and he'll send no one to hell. And I this was just after this repentance teaching. And I looked at her, and the first response, and folks, I want you to understand something. I don't fear offending someone by speaking the truth. If I say, I am commanded to love my neighbor as I love myself, okay? And if I say that I love you, I'm going to tell you the truth. So if I see you walking the cliff, I'm not going to give you a hug and say, oh, pat you on the bottom and say, hey, be careful. There's a cliff down there. You know, I'm not going to tell you that. I'm going to say, hey, you either turn or you're going to die because you're going to fall off that cliff. Okay, and I don't mean, so when I say I'm going to offend you, I don't mean if I see someone that's obese, I'm going to run over to you and say, hey, you're fat. You need to go on a diet. That's not what I mean. What I mean is if I see a homosexual couple, I'm going to speak to them in love and say, if you don't come out of that sin, okay, you're going to be in trouble on Judgment Day, whether you believe it or not. Or if I see a liar that says, well, I only lie to protect my family so they don't get hurt. Folks, the Bible is very clear. It says all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. That means white lies. That means purple lies. That means green lies. It's simple. I mean, if we follow what God's word says, I get so confused because we make things so hard on ourselves. It's very, very simple. Okay, very simple. So to get back to this thing with this woman, I asked her, what Bible are you reading, ma'am? Because I know in my Bible it clearly describes a place called hell. And matter of fact, you know, it's marked in red in some areas that it speaks of this place. And she said, well, I just don't believe that. And I said, okay. I said, well, ma'am, if I were to stick you out on Interstate 10 or Interstate 95 or whatever interstate, and I put you in the middle lane, and you look and you see an 18-wheeler coming at you, and you turn to me and you say, ah, that's okay, I don't believe in 18-wheelers. Is that going to prevent you from getting squashed if you don't move out of the way? Of course not. See, if we put it in simple standards, it's really, really easy to understand. And so I'm going to go back, and then I said to her, I said, ma'am, I said, you, and I looked at her and I said, you're right. And she said, she didn't even believe it. And then my ministry partners that were at this outreach, they turned to me and they said, what? And I said, ma'am, you're right. I said, your God will not send you to hell. He can't. He doesn't exist. You've created a God to suit yourself, one you're more comfortable with, one that you think will overlook your sin and just let you in. And that's never biblically true. And, man, that's the oldest sin in the book, and that's called idolatry. And it clearly says no idolater will enter or inherit the kingdom of God. Okay? So, folks, I want you to understand this message may be outside the box. I am very controversial, but I am not here to please, to be a people pleaser. I am here to do everything that I can to please my Lord and Savior, who is Jesus Christ. Okay? So the first part of this repentance, if you go back to Numbers 21:8-9, okay, it says, the Lord said to Moses, make a snake and put it up on a pole. Anyone who is bitten can look at it and live. Then when anyone was bitten by the snake and looked at the bronze snake, he lived. Now, okay, let's put ourselves in this situation. Me, I am petrified of snakes. Petrified. I don't like them. Okay, period. Poisonous snake. Okay, so now we're in this situation, and we put ourselves, and we see poisonous snakes have bitten everyone, and while we are not yet dead, the prospects don't look good. Suddenly a voice yells out, we must do something. We must save ourselves. And that is what American Christianity is doing today. Mm-hmm. Come down to this pole. Come down to this altar and save yourself now. All you have to do is say this prayer. All you have to do is believe. All you have to do is live a good life. Folks, the Bible is very clear on the subject. There is none good, none righteous, none seek after the righteousness of Christ. None do. And our righteousness, folks, are as filthy rags compared to God's righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
So when we try to replace our standards of righteousness with God's standards of righteousness and then come to him in remorse, not repentance, in remorse, because that's what today's church seems to be filled with, is a bunch of remorse and a bunch of empty promises or a bunch of New Year's resolutions. They'll say, oh, God, I'm sorry, I promise not to do it again. Or this year, I'm going to try not to do this. What does it end up being? By the time the new year rolls around again, you're asking for this, you're making the same empty promise. Okay?
All right.
Go back to putting ourselves in this poisonous snake thing. Okay? People begin to start crying out, we must save ourselves. Folks, we can't save ourselves. There is nothing, nothing, nothing. And let me repeat it one more time. There is absolutely nothing we can do to save ourselves. Okay?
Right.
So these people say, but how? Well, here come some various ideas. Well, if you run around in a frantic activity, it will work out the poison. Now, I'm going to get a little deep here. I've been to some churches where I've watched people flop around like a fish and run around and yell and scream and put their hands up. And within 5 minutes later, they're out in the parking lot cussing out the driver that cut them off in traffic. Okay? Let's cut that one out. A few people try this and die trying. Okay? Others, by staring at their bites, go totally berserk into a frenzy of panic. Alternatively, some try to convince themselves that they are not bitten. Does that sound familiar? How many times have I walked into a church and say, I've asked the congregation members, hey, You ever thought about what happens, what's going to happen to you after you die? They're like, sure, man, I'm going to heaven. All the while, give you an example. I spoke to this one person. He says, absolutely, man, I'm going to heaven. Praise God. Woohoo! My penalty's already been paid. He actually said, I've got a prepaid ticket to heaven. All the while, he's committing adultery against his wife. All the while, he's doing drugs on the side. All the while, okay, he's lying to people. So, let's see. Let's base it on his beliefs. So some try to convince themselves that they're not bitten or that the snakes were not poisonous. You know what? It's okay if my wife doesn't find out. It's okay if I tell this lie if I'm doing it to protect somebody. It's okay if I want to think that or if I want to think that every day's a Friday or I want to go get that new job because I deserve it. Folks, the only thing we deserve is hell. That's where God's grace and mercy comes in. Okay? So they try to convince themselves that these snakes were not poisonous and form little groups to delude each other while dying. Folks, did you notice what I said? The two examples that we gave, okay, the two examples which we gave, what is the end result? They still die. Folks, we are part of the ultimate statistic. 10 out of 10 of us are going to die. And we've got two choices, okay? When we die, we're going to be judged. And we're only going two places, folks. And unfortunately, the Bible clearly states that there's going to be many, 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 and let me make myself clear, M-A-N-Y, many people that profess his name. And all they're going to do is they're going to hear these words. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Okay? Folks, I'm going to tell you something. I don't want to hear those words. I don't want any of you to hear those words. Okay? So now here's the third. Here's the third and the most dangerous scenario in this poisonous snake. Okay? Here comes a person selling snake oil, which purports to be an antitoxin, but it makes people even worse. Folks, there are so many in today's pulpit that will stand behind and out of not trying to point fingers, but trying to get the truth out there. I'm not going to mention any names, but they're in Houston, Texas. They're in Georgia, and matter of fact, Brother Montgomery, they're all over your place. And these are well known men. And unfortunately, and women, okay? There's some in Florida, there's some in California, okay? And the list goes on and on. They're delivering this snake oil. And this snake oil says, there is no condemnation. All you have to do is sit in my congregation. Whoop, you're covered by the blood of Jesus, so you're no longer a sinner.
Uh-huh.
Or you prayed this prayer 10, 15 years ago, and when you did it, you really had no conceptualization of what the prayer meant, so you just did it to appease somebody. You did it to make your grandparents happy so you could go get a toy when you left church. You did it to make your wife happy, so for whatever reason, you did it to make your wife happy. Okay, but the key is you didn't do it for the reason that God wants, and that's for godly sorrow. You didn't do it because you don't even understand what repentance means. How can you come to repentance if you don't even know what sin is? If you have a conceptualization of that, you have to tell many lies before you're a liar. Folks, I'm going to send you to the book of Acts. I think it's chapter 1, it might be chapter 7, but there was a couple named Ananias and Sapphira where they told one lie and God struck them. Boom, done. One lie. Folks, it only takes one lie to be a liar. It only takes one thing to steal to be a thief. And God's not impressed with the value of something stolen, just the fact that you took something that didn't belong to you. Okay? And if you die in your sin, So going back to this snake oil, so we see this now today, and we see this God's love presentation. God has a wonderful plan for your life.
Yes.
Go get that new house. Go get that new job. Go get that new car because you deserve it. Folks, I got news for you. And I'm really hitting on the one in Houston, Texas today, that, and I'm not going to mention his name, but me personally, I think he'd make a better weatherman. But we look at his ministry, which he has the largest church in America, and he is sending people to hell with this doctrine of go get all these things because you deserve it, because God needs you. Folks, God doesn't need us. He existed before time existed.
Amen.
And he doesn't need us. He did this. He brought us into creation to bring glory to his name. And all we have done is detriment. All we have done is trampled on the blood that his son shed for us. Okay?
Oof.
So when we continue these messages, when we continue these God has a wonderful plan for our lives, when we continue these prosperity messages, folks, I got news for you. Anybody would come to Jesus if a new house, new car, new job came with it. Anybody.
Yeah.
Anybody. Anybody. Okay? So all they are doing is they are making the situation worse. So enter Moses, who says, if you look at the bronze snake that has been lifted up on this pole, you will live. If you do not, no matter what else you do, you will die. Let's really picture how we might react, having been given this revelation. Man, that Moses, man, he's crazy, man. He's got to be kidding. We would think that. Do nothing? Just look. How insulting a solution. What part do we play in it? Moses responds, cease your activities. Just look and live. Really,
right.
Now, if you'd been there, would you have believed it? Do you believe God's solution today? And that is, I mean, folks, again, remember what I said in the beginning. Don't believe what I said. Let's go back to the very first words of Jesus' ministry. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. John the
Amen.
Baptist, as he was paving the way for Jesus, said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So
That's
let's
right.
go back. And so many people today have lost their focus. And they've taken their eyes off the cross, and they've put it on the world. And that goes exactly against what the Bible says. And the Bible says in Romans 12:2, it says very, 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 very clearly, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And folks,
yes.
That's what repentance is. Repentance is a turn. Repentance is a change of heart, a change of mind.
Yes.
And we're going to get into this in just a second. We're going to get, and I'm going to be able to, and you know, God had spoke to my heart about this message today, and I want to share with you my testimony, because there are so many people that have said to me, man, you know what? I just don't understand the Bible. So when you come at me with these Bible scriptures, I just don't understand it. But you know what I found the understanding is? God put it on your heart to share a life experience. And wow, it was, wow, if it happened to Matt, then it could happen to me. So we're going to check this out. We're going to check this out, folks. All right, so before we go there, and we now recognize that the definition of repentance, true biblical repentance, is a change of mind, a change of heart. It's very clear. We just gave scripture. And there's so many more scriptures about it. But if you look at Romans 12:2, you know, that we just said, we look at Galatians 2:20, for I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. And the life that which I live now in the body, I live through faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up to death on my behalf. Okay?
Yes.
And look at 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here. So when we see in repentance, why I say repentance is the beginning, because it brings on so much more. Repentance, then born again, and then salvation, then justification. And we see this, and you see this walk. So, man. So, you know, if you look at this repentance thing, it is a true change of heart and mind. So I'm going to share a story with you that happened to me while I was in prison. And, folks, I went to prison for theft by deception. I had sold a car that I didn't have title to while I was a police officer for the government, okay, for the Department of Defense. But but in that time, prior to me going to prison, which is 5 years, I got arrested for it in 2005, went to trial for it in 2010. But while that was going on, I did nothing but lie. I ruined people's lives. I destroyed cities, okay? So both the state of Florida and the state of Alabama tried to give me 20 years each, okay? So and God knew before I was even born where my road was going to be, where the curvy road stopped, and where the narrow path began. Okay. Now that's not to say that there's not going to be hills, dips, potholes, and ditches. Okay, because our walk is a continuing walk, and we will fall. But the difference is, and we'll get into that later on in the show, the difference of someone who is a true convert, the difference is that they will fall into sin and not dive into it. Okay, but this story, it really means a lot to me. And I've written it on my blog, and my blog is Fishing for Souls, and that's number 4, fishingforsouls.wordpress.com. And so many, I had the opportunity to speak to so many. I got sentenced to a 46-month sentence, served 21 months of it, okay? You stink. You're too rotten. Do you feel like you will never get the stench from you because the world has isolated you, forgotten you, and left you for dead? That's what they did for me. That's a con man. That's a liar. That's a thief. He'll never change. He'll always be a con man. So the only place that we can put him is in prison. Just get him away. All the while, see, and prior to, because I wasn't born again until I was in my prison cell on August 1st, 2011. So all the while, I'm thinking to myself, okay, well, this is everybody's fault. God knew exactly what he was doing. He did this. He put me in prison. Oh, let me take that back. I put myself in prison. But he used prison, okay, to bring glory and to magnify his name, because there is nobody that I have met that used to know me prior that hasn't come up to me and said, I don't even recognize you. Hence, you are a new creation in Christ. Okay.
Amen.
So the world, the devil, knew exactly what God was going to do, so he tried everything he could to kill me, to kill, steal, and destroy what God had planned for me. And, folks, it almost worked. I almost committed suicide twice while I was in prison.
Ooh.
Okay? And when I say almost, I mean it's a long story, and that's for another show. But so that's what prompted me to write this article. So this is a story of what happened one day in the Alabama Department of Corrections. So my questions are, have you been turned away from society, labeled an outcast? To the world, do you stink so badly that no one wants to come near you? So let me share a story. During my time in prison, I was blessed to meet some very interesting and charismatic individuals, ones that the world has given up on. So much so that they have discarded any thought of redemption, repentance, because in their own minds they say, I will never change, because that's what the world has told me. And folks, we know who the world is. The world is the devil, and the devil will do everything to discourage you, to steal, kill, and destroy you. So one of the most charismatic men that I've ever met was an individual named He-Man. And folks, when I say He-Man, he was He-Man. At 14, he was convicted of 3 counts of murder and emblazed notion that he will never be removed from prison. He said to me one day, I will die in prison. This behemoth of a man was 6'9" and about 390 pounds.
Jeez.
He made the Incredible Hulk look like Steve Urkel. In saying all of this, He-Man was not only a murderer, but a homosexual. He turned to that lifestyle while he was in prison and was actively involved with another inmate. He could always be found working out with either water bags or the occasional table, bench, or whatever he was able to lift. Usually I would go out and speak throughout the day to different inmates around the facility, but this day I found myself sitting on my rack reading. All of a sudden, this terrible stench came through my room. I looked up, and He-Man, who had obviously just come from working out, wanted to talk. Here's how the conversation went. Preacher, all inmates have nicknames, and I was given Preacher. I want to talk with you. I responded cautiously with, okay, what can I help you with? He sat down on the cold concrete floor as he continued and asked if I would be willing to marry him and his partner. Huh. He explained that he hated religion, admitted to not knowing God, but he felt compelled that day to ask me to do this for him. And, folks, he had no idea what was going to happen. But God did. I began to weep in my heart as I looked up at him and said, no, my friend. He was taken by surprise.
Hold on, Matthew. Now, you told this guy no. He's 6'9", looked like the Hulk. He was in a homosexual relationship. He wanted to marry this other guy. He asked you, and you told him no. Go ahead on. Tell me the rest.
He said he was taken back with my answer. He stood up right in front of me, and with a raise in his voice, said, "Are you telling me no?" I looked at him. I said, "Yes, I am." Standing on my rack to be face to face with him, I explained my answer. I said, "He man, to this world, you have been labeled not only a murderer, but now a homosexual. That's not what God has planned for you."
That's right.
He interrupted and said, "I have been this way since I was born. God made me this way." I in turn voiced, "Now, he man, you know that that isn't true. You know that you began this lifestyle in prison. You were placed in this pit of darkness by the belief that you could never be free from this lifestyle or your past." I said, "Let me share a story with you. Once there were two sisters who just lost their brother Lazarus. He was sick and died. When Jesus heard about Lazarus, he was grieved in the spirit. So he came to the two sisters knowing what he was about to do." Continuing, I said, "But when Jesus arrived, Mary tried to convince him, the one who turned water into wine, the one who healed by just speaking words into the air, not to be troubled because Lazarus had been dead 4 days and the stench was unbearable."
Ooh.
See, what happens is when we stink to this world, it casts us out. It avoids us, no longer has any need for us, and therefore leaves us for dead. "He man," I called, "when the world and everything in it says we stink, when the stench is so unbearable, nothing can come near it, I got news for you. Jesus keeps coming. Jesus keeps coming. No matter how much we stink, he keeps coming. Just
Amen.
As he did when he walked to the front of the tomb where Lazarus lay." Now, folks, I'm going to point something out here. This is so important. He didn't run up to Lazarus. He didn't go and grab him and hug him. He called out to Lazarus, and he commanded him to come forth. And he who had died became alive. He was set
yes.
free from death and the grave clothes that bound him by faith. By faith. He, man, looked up, and as tears streamed down his face, he uttered these words, "I don't want to be this way anymore." God
Glory.
Knew exactly what was going to happen, and that is a change of mind. That is repentance. That is a true coming to Christ. That is laying things down at the foot of the cross, saying, "Jesus, I can't do this anymore. Please help me."
Amen.
Although it is likely to spend the remaining years he has left behind prison walls, He-Man was set free that day, removed from the prison that the devil and this world had placed him in, promising a life sentence. This is what we are to do as Christians, according to, no matter who they are or how bad they stink, we are to embrace love and share the message of hope, reminding them that there is one who can commute a life sentence, who can lose the icy cold hand of death. Jesus can and did when he shed his blood so that all may taste victory over death. So for those of you who are convinced that you are utterly abandoned to be left alone in the depths of your stench, Jesus is at the door of your tomb, beckoning, come forth. I tell this story in preface instead of it being on the end, because I don't want it to be focused on, well, I'm going to make a decision for Christ. You know, folks, so many pastors rejoice in decisions for Christ. But, folks, I got news for you. Heaven reserves its rejoicement for true repentance.
Amen.
So, I tell this story in preface so we can go into what repentance truly is. But before we do that, I want to share with you a few things, what repentance is not. So I'm going to make sure this is very clear, because repentance is a word often used but rarely understood from the and especially from the pulpit. Okay? So these are things that repentance is not. Repentance is not getting caught, but it is coming clean.
All right.
It's not getting caught, but coming clean. Okay? What do you need to tell God that you have not? Because, folks, whether you believe it or not, God knows it anyway.
Amen.
He's waiting for you to confess it to him. He's waiting for you to confess it to him. And so many people stagger and stagnate in their relationship with God. And then they say, well, God, why am I not moving any further? Why are my prayers not getting answered? Why do these things continue to happen to me? It's because you haven't come to God in the first place.
All right.
Okay? Step number two. Repentance is not denying our sin. I didn't do it. Nobody saw me do it. Can't prove a thing. It's not denying our sin. Repentance is not diminishing, downplaying, or partial confession. Well, it's not a big deal. I did my best. Nobody's perfect. It could have been worse. That's not repentance, folks. Repentance is not managing our sin and trying to keep it under control. Yeah, I have this addiction, problem, habit, proclivity, but I'm doing it all. I'm not doing it all the time. I only do it sometimes. So I got this. No, folks. Jesus died for our sin. We don't manage it. We put it to death because
Amen.
Jesus died to enable us to put sin to death, because that's what Jesus died for. Jesus died for our sins. Repentance is not blame shifting, passing responsibility to someone else. Well, you made me do it, or the reason why I did this is because if you wouldn't have yelled at me, my dad never hugged me, whatever the reason may be, okay? Repentance is not excusing our sin. Well, I did this because I was tired, I was angry, again, my dad never hugged me, I had a bad childhood, whatever it was. You know, I've got a reason that in my mind makes good sense. And we all know where that goes. In Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, it says, lean not on our own understanding. Okay? It's very clear. Repentance is not someone else's sin. It's about my sin. Religious people, so many are always focused and always aware of your sin, but not theirs.
All right.
We need to be aware. Jesus said, be aware of you, who you are. Be aware of what you do. Okay, because we, all the time, we want to overlook our own guilt and hypocrisy. You know, repentance is not manipulating God for a blessing.
All
well,
right.
Okay, God, if I tell you this and I come clean, then that means you're going to bless me, right? You know, it's not doing something to get something. It's doing something because it's right.
Amen.
Repentance is not worldly sorrow. And Paul speaks very clearly to the church in Corinth about this. Feeling bad, but not changing. Feeling bad is not repentance. It's remorse.
That's right.
Feeling bad doesn't change your heart. I can feel
That's
bad
right.
all day long that I yelled at my son. But until I don't yell at my son anymore, you know, where's the heart change?
That's That's right.
You know, God says that for every word will be justified and every word will be condemned, and that's in Matthew 12:36. So feeling bad doesn't bring out repentance, okay? And merely grieving the consequences of your sin, we don't just merely grieve that. We actually hate the evil of sin itself. We have to remember, folks, sin is commission and omission.
Uh-huh.
There are sins of omission. You may think that because no one ever questioned you about it, that was close, I got away with it.
Mm.
Folks, God looks at the inward parts. He looks at our heart condition. He sees everything. He's omniscient, omnipotent. He knows everything. So if you think that you can manipulate and hide from God, you're going to be in trouble on Judgment Day if you stay in that condition. Okay?
Right.
Folks, doing the wrong thing, whether it's doing the wrong thing or it's not doing the right thing, it's still wrong.
That's right.
Okay? It's still wrong. So now, those are, in humble ideas, those are what repentance is not, okay? And unfortunately, today, the church has a theology that doesn't require too much repentance. And I see it in the pulpit. I see it in the congregations. I see it outside. You know, we have people that will walk into these fancy buildings, these million-dollar buildings, with the coffee shops, movie theaters, bookstores, shopping centers, grocery stores, a whole Sam's Club on the inside of them, and they'll walk into the I can't even think of the word, but the sanctuary, and they'll walk in with Bermuda shorts, a coffee in one hand and a smartphone in the other hand, and they'll sit down, they'll put their feet up in the altar, and they'll say, just tell me how blessed I am, tell me that everything's going to be okay, tell me I'm going to have no problems in my life. I don't want to hear that gloom and doom stuff, because if you tell me the gloom and doom stuff, I'm not going to put money in the collection plate.
Mm.
Pastor, how many of you are willing to get on national television like Joel Osteen had the opportunity to speak to millions of people, and he said, Jesus is not the only way? How many of you pastors would go on national television and say, Jesus is the only way? How many of you pastors are willing to lose the biggest giver in your church rather than dilute your message? So, pastors, this statement is directed right at you. And I know there's some listening, because I know on our end with the ministry, we've promoted this show. So I know that there's some that are listening. So this is directed right at you. What happens if today is the time that God calls you? And you're sitting at the judgment seat, and you look back, and you see your entire congregation waiting to be judged. Then, the footsteps that you hear coming down that great hallway of justice are not going to be carrying them to heaven.
Ooh.
Pastor, right then, it's too late to beg for mercy. So wake up, pastors. Wake up. And folks, for those of you who are sitting in those pews and you want to begin to ask questions and the pastor runs around the answer, or runs from the truth, or runs away from accepting responsibility for his messages, you need to be running out the door. You need to be running out the door. I'm sure that you can contact Pastor Montgomery. I'm sure, I know that you can contact me, and we'll point you in a direction. If we can't find one, we'll look for one. We'll look for a biblical-based, Bible-preaching, gospel truth speaking church. Because there are so many today, that will not talk about repentance, will not talk about sin, will not talk about judgment, will not talk about hell. They just want to talk about God's love. And then on top of that, here is the dangerous thing about this, folks. They're not only condemning their own selves, okay, but what they're doing is they're raising up these weak, half-hearted Christians, okay, that have no idea what repentance is, and then we take this man-made infection and take it overseas. To fresh seeds that desire the whole gospel truth, and we come over there and we infect them.
Mm.
We infect them.
Glory.
That's not what it's about, folks. That is not what it's about. Okay? And for those of you
for those of you who may be a little bit stronger in their, excuse me, stronger in your walk, stronger in your faith, I've got a message for you too. Okay? If you think repentance means because you ask for forgiveness and automatically you're expecting the repentance of a 30-year mature relationship with Christ, it's not going to happen. And then therefore you come up and you beat yourself up because, well, I failed again. I did this again. Or I'm doing this constantly over and over again. So therefore I must not be saved. Or therefore I must not be repenting enough. I'm not trying hard enough. Folks, what you don't even realize is you're convoluting, you're twisting that, and you're turning it into a works-based, legalistic approach to God. And then you begin to say these prayers. And folks, if you look at it this way, if you had a vision that you could see your prayers, those who want to turn this into not only legalistic works-based religion, those who aren't doing it biblically, your prayers are hitting the ceiling. The prayers hit the ceiling. And you wonder why your prayers are not being answered. Because how do you expect, now, I've had so many pastors come up back to me and say, Matt, you just don't, you have no theological degree, you have no biblical training, so you have, therefore, you have no right to speak, you just don't understand the word of God, where all, God hears all prayers. Absolutely. If God knows everything and he sees everything, he must know all prayers. What they're not telling you is God cannot look upon sin. He can't. He's so holy. He's so righteous. He can't look upon sin. How many times have you sat in the living room and listened to your child? Blah, blah, blah. One day at band camp, I did blah, 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 blah. But you really didn't hear him. How many times? If it happens to us, God created us. So it's not that he doesn't hear them. But, you know, and he's going to work those prayers however he decides, however he chooses, because it's God. So if he decides to bless you in an area, then he does it because he can look outside of time and he knows 1 year, 2 years, 5 years, 1 day, 2 hours, 2 minutes, 30 seconds from now, it's going to bring glory to his name. And if it doesn't, what does the word say? It's going to clip, you're going to get clipped from the vine. Because a good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and vice versa. A bad tree, no matter how hard it tries, will never be able to bear good fruit. It's just simple as that. So we go back to the solution that Moses had proposed. You know, look at John 3:14. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. We all have been bitten. We were born into a sinful nature. And sin is cursing or coercing through our veins. It will most certainly lead to death. There is only one solution. But it is an offense to our ability to save ourselves.
That's
Look
right.
at John 6:40 says, For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to be really bold here, and I'm going to step out. Okay? I don't like that verse. Doesn't mean I don't believe it. I don't like it. Because it has been so sickly twisted by pastors, by evangelists, by church leaders, and then by these unequipped soldiers that want to say, all you have to do is believe. That's where the word believe comes, not the obligation, but the duty to please God. It says, if the truth is in you, then you will abide in my commandments.
Yeah.
Okay? And so if you want to run around, say, I hate you. You know, I've watched people on the street say, hey, you've got a Jesus-sized hole in your heart. The only one that can fill it is Jesus. So do you want to know how to get to heaven? And these people say, yes. And they say, well, all you have to do is say this little prayer. And they say, and they quote it like a mantra. They say, oh, dear God, I'm a sinner. I ask you to come into my heart. I ask you to come into my heart. That's it? That's all I have to do? Yep, you're in.
No, folks. No, folks. That's not true. That's not true. That's not true at all.
John 6:29, Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. So if we believe that he has sent Jesus to pay our penalty, then we are going to do everything in our hearts to try to please the one that paid their penalty. To put it in as natural realm as possible. If you're sitting in a courtroom and the judge says, I'm going to send you to a $200,000 fine. If not, I'm going to send you to prison for the rest of your life. And now you begin to cry because you have no way to pay this, and now you know you're going to be held accountable. What would you do if someone that you didn't even know comes in and says, I'll pay that fine because I love them? How would you feel? There would be unmistakable amount of gratitude. And then you're going to do your best, okay, knowing that we're going to fail every day. You're going to do your best, okay, to do the right thing. All right? And then, again, reminder, folks, we're going to get into the fact that why true believers still sin, okay? So I want to go back to a little bit more scripture on this. On repentance. Luke 13:3 says, but unless you repent, you too will all perish. Okay? Now, I've had pastors refer to this as a turn or burn passage. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Matthew 4:17 says, from that time on, Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Matthew 3:2 says, you must change your hearts and minds. For the kingdom of God, for the kingdom of heaven has arrived. Mark 6:12. These are all different versions of the Bible. So they went out and preached that people should turn away from their sins. Acts 2:38. Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Okay, you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Okay? The way, if you look at it, there's two ways to look at this. The way we are looking, number one, will make sense if we look enough. If you look at a picture, you know, I don't know, back in the 80s or 90s, I'm kind of showing my age, but back in the 80s or 90s, there's these pictures that they were kind of three-dimensional. If you stared at them long enough, they made sense. You could actually see the 3D image. So, I find that very true. If you stare, if you keep your eyes on the cross, keep your eyes on God, it will begin to make sense. For 40 years, I was reading the Bible on and off, and in no means the way I should, and it made absolutely no sense to me. When I began to read it every single day, when I began to study it, when I began to just desire it, and all of a sudden it was like, as the movie Despicable Me, my son loves that movie, light bulb, and that's what happened. A light bulb came on, and it was absolutely amazing. The scripture became alive, and I began to understand it because when the proclivity stopped, and I fell down on my face and stopped blaming everybody else for my sin, took accountability, and said, God, I cannot do this. I cannot live another day knowing that I am trampling on your blood. Tears were just gushing down my face, and I'm in prison, folks. You're not supposed to look weak to your surroundings in prison.
That's right.
Okay? You're not supposed to look weak. And I'm on my face. I got news. I love the folks at the Alabama Department of Corrections, but it's one of the most filthy places that I've ever seen. I'm on my face. My lips are touching the floor. I'm on my face bawling, saying, God, please forgive me. Please forgive me. I've trampled on your blood. I ask you for forgiveness. That's what repentance is. So it will make sense if you look hard enough. It will create a desire to move in that direction. It will lead to something. First, you know what? We're going to look how this applies to man's way. Proverbs 14:12. There's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. If our line of sight is along our own way or the way of the world, then this will begin. This scripture will begin to make sense to us as we continue to meditate on it. Even if the way we are looking is, and I'm going to say this, but even if the way we are looking is really stupid, okay, with this mindset, desire will spring up, which is the fuel that leads us to destruction.
Uh-huh.
If you want to, and for so many years, I was like, I got this. I can do this. I'll figure out my way out. No matter how many lies it takes, I'll keep telling lie after lie after lie to cover this lie, to cover this lie, to appease this person, to appease this person. I'll figure it out. And instead of helping the situation, it made it worse. I was digging my grave deeper.
That's right.
But the funny thing about it is, a grave only needs to be dug 6 feet. Some of us have digged 30, 40, 50, 60, even 100 feet deep. But it doesn't matter. Once it's six feet, you're dead.
That's true. Brother Matthew, I was just thinking about everything that you were saying, and it's absolutely true. And the subject of our program is Repent America, but America is a whole lot of people. The people is what make a nation. So we're saying Repent America. Now, everything that you're saying is absolutely true. I wanted to read a couple of scriptures. I'm coming out of Ezekiel 16. I'm going to read a few scriptures, and then I'm going to go back to you. But it's saying here, in 16, it says, the Lord spoke his word to me, Ezekiel. He said, son of man, make known to the people of Jerusalem. The reason I'm going to Jerusalem is because this is talking about Israel, which was a nation. We're talking about Repent America. I want you to see the correlation between Old Testament Israel and America today. Now check this out. It says, son of man, make known to the people of Jerusalem the disgusting things they have done. Tell them, this is what the Almighty Lord says to the people of Jerusalem. Your birthplace and your ancestors were in the land of the Canaanites. Your father was an Amorite and your mother was a Hittite. When you were born, your umbilical cord wasn't cut. Talking about the nation. You weren't washed with water to make you clean. You weren't rubbed with salt or wrapped in cloth. No one who saw you felt sorry enough for you to do any of these things. But you were thrown into an open field. You were rejected when you were born. Talking about sin. Then I went by you. God went by you and saw you were kicking around in your own blood. I said to you, live. God is saying to us now, live, America. How do we do that? Okay. It's by God. I made you grow like a plant in the field. You grew up, matured, and become a young woman. Your breasts developed and your hair grew, yet you were naked and bare. I went by you again and looked at you. You were old enough to make love to, so I spread my robe over you and covered your naked body. I promised to love you, and I exchanged marriage vows with you. You became mine, declares the Almighty Lord. America, we do not belong to the enemy. We belong to God. We belong
Amen.
To God. We belong to God, not the enemy. Repent. 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 Then the Lord bathed you with water, and I washed off your blood. I poured olive oil over you. I put an embroidered dress on you and fine leather sandals on your feet. I dressed you in fine linen, and I covered you with silk. I gave you jewelry. I put bracelets on your wrist and necklace around your neck. I put a ring in your nose, earrings on your ears, and a beautiful crown on your head. So you wore gold and silver jewelry. You were dressed in fine linen, silk, and embroidered clothes. Your food was flour, honey, and olive oil. You were very beautiful, and eventually you became a queen. You became famous in every nation because of your beauty. Your beauty was perfect because I gave you my glory.
declares the Almighty Lord. But you trusted your beauty, and you used your fame to begin a prostitute, and you had sex with everyone who walked by. You took some of your clothes and made your worship sites colorful. This is where you acted like a prostitute. Such things shouldn't happen. They shouldn't occur. America, God raised us up. God made us powerful. God made us wealthy. God made us rich. God made us the envy of the world. God is our Father. Jesus is our Lord. The Holy Spirit should be the spirit of the nation. Why have we turned away from the Lord? Why? When God has done all he has for us, we need to repent. We need to turn back from God. We need to stop committing adultery with all these foreign gods out there, with all these false gods. Stop it. Repent. Turn back to God and he'll bless us more. He'll heal our land. He'll set us free.
Amen.
We don't have to be like this. We don't have to be like this, people. We can be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, but we have to repent. We have to let loose of our adultery and of our sin. We have to truly repent. That's what Brother Matthew is talking about. Look, God doesn't change. It has always been repentance. It has always been righteousness. It has never been all this false stuff that these people are talking about. Well, you can live any kind of way, but you're going to make it into the kingdom. You can be practicing all kinds of sins. You don't have to repent. No, just go to church somewhere. Just shake a preacher's hand. Just say a sentence of repentance, but you don't repent. America, wake up. Repent. Look, let me say it like this. There's no demons in heaven, all right? There's no sin in heaven, all right? There is no death in heaven. All right? So if none of that is in heaven or none of that is in the kingdom of God, I'll break it down to the kingdom of God. What makes you think that you're going to be in the kingdom of God practicing sin? Are you hearing me? That's not going to happen. That's not what Jesus taught. That's not what the apostles taught. God didn't say that. He said, such things shouldn't happen. They should not occur. Not in his people. Oh, glory to God. America. Look, there's only one way, and that is through Jesus Christ. There are not many ways to get to God. There are not numerous ways to get into the kingdom of God. It's one way. And that's through Jesus Christ, the one who was born, who walked on the earth, who was crucified, who died, was buried, was resurrected on the third day, and is now sitting on the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us right now. That's the only way to please God. That's the only way to get into the kingdom of God. And that is the only way that this country is going to be saved. Is by and through Jesus Christ, his word, the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
That's it. Go ahead, brother. Woo, Jesus.
Amen. Wow. Amen. You know what? I mean, look at it, folks. Jesus said, hang on. Jesus said that he came to call sinners to repentance. Excuse me. Came to call sinners to repentance. And that's in Matthew 9:13. The first public word he preached was repent. which is Matthew 4:17. John the Baptist began his ministry the same way, Matthew 3:2. Jesus told his hearers twice that without repentance they would perish, Luke 13:3-5. If belief is all that is necessary for salvation, then the logical conclusion, folks, I want you to put your magnifiers on when you hear this statement. If belief is all that is necessary for salvation, then the logical conclusion is that one need never repent. However, the Bible tells us that a false convert believes and yet is not saved, Luke 18:13. He remains a worker of iniquity. In his book, One Thing You Can't Do in Heaven, Mark Cahill, friend of mine, notes that when witnessing to the lost, if there is no desire to walk away from sin, the person is not really making a true heart commitment to the Savior. In John 6:44, Jesus says, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him." If God is drawing someone to him, he would also be drawing that person away from sin. Look at the warning of Scripture. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not tell the truth. Or do not the truth, I'm sorry. 1 John 1:6. The Scriptures also say, "He that covers his sin shall not prosper. But whoso confesses and forsakes them," repents, "shall have mercy." Proverbs 28:13. Jesus said that there was joy in heaven over one sinner who repents. Luke 15:10. If there is no repentance, there is no joy, because there is no salvation. Folks, I want you to look and remember something in the Bible. As people preach, good grief, man. As Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, he commanded his hearers to repent for the remission of sins. That's in Acts 2:38. Without repentance, there is no remission of sins. We are still under God's wrath. Peter further said, "Repent and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out." That's in Acts 3:19. We cannot be converted nor have our sins blotted out unless we repent. God himself commands all men everywhere, leaving no exceptions, to repent, Acts 17:30. Peter said a similar thing at Pentecost. He said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you," Acts 2:38. Again, Scripture says that the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 2 Peter 3:9. Clearly, those who do not repent will perish. If, folks, very clearly, if repentance was not necessary for salvation, why then did Jesus command that repentance be preached to all nations? Luke 24:47. When he sent out his disciples two by two, they preached that men should repent, Mark 6:12. The Amen. Necessity of repentance underscores the importance of going through the law with a sinner. If a man does not know what sin is, how can he repent? Any Amen. Repentance would be merely horizontal repentance.
All right.
He's responding to the Savior because he's lied to men, stolen from men, etc. Folks, but I want you to understand something. When David sinned with Bathsheba, he didn't say, "I sinned against man." He said to God, "Against you and you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight." Psalms 51:4. When Joseph was tempted sexually, he said, "How can I do this thing and sin against God?" Genesis 39:9. The prodigal son said, "I have sinned against heaven," Luke 15:21. That's why Paul preached repentance toward God, Acts 20:21. When a man doesn't understand that his sin is primarily vertical, he'll merely exercise superficial
experimental, horizontal repentance and fall away when tribulation, temptation, and persecution come. Folks, I'm going to share something. I know we don't have that much time, but I want to share something else with you. Okay? We are commanded to go and preach the gospel to every living creature.
Yes.
Okay? And this, you know, and Pastor Montgomery told me that I could promote my book. That it's not about my book. I could care less about the sales about my book. I could care less about how many hits I have on Facebook. I could care less how many hits I have on our radio station, Redemption Radio. What it's about is God has given me a commandment, and he's given every one of you listeners out there to go and preach the gospel to every living creature. And they did not leave a passage or an exemption for when you feel led, as so many pastors have said to me when I said, well, how many times have you shared the gospel with a complete stranger? The sharing of the gospel means you are going to speak truth. Okay,
amen.
You are going to speak about sin. You're going to speak about repentance. You're going to speak about judgment. You're going to speak about hell. Okay, so when you go out, I'd like to share something with you, okay? This is a typical conversation that I have with pastors. Well, pastors, Pastor such and such, do you share the gospel with people? Well, we let people see Jesus through our works. Okay, so now out of that response is, well, okay, now my head's saying, well, isn't that turning it into a works-based relationship with Jesus? And we know that it's not our works can never get us into heaven. We can pass out newspapers on the street. We have a local church here, that and their evangelism director said that to me. We allow people to see Jesus through our works. So for you who may be listening, you can pass out newspapers on the street corner. You can pass out water bottles. You can pass out toothbrushes. You can wrap people's Christmas presents at Christmas time at Wiregrass Mall. That's not going to get you into heaven, okay? That's not going to earn you any better seat in heaven, okay? And because what you are creating is when you talk about God's love and God's love only, and you don't mention repentance, or you bury repentance under God's love, okay, then no one is going to even understand the need to repent, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And when you explain of God's love, and you explain God loves you and he wishes none to perish, and so say this little prayer and boom, you're in. Folks, how in the world? I did not know what it meant. For 40 years, if my lips were moving, I was lying. I didn't even believe that I was lying, because I believed every single lie that I told. I believed it was the truth. Okay,
right.
And that is the depths of what Satan will go to confuse you. And folks, when you're confused, if you're sitting in front of your radio, if you're sitting in front of the computer, if you're sitting listening to this wherever you are and you're confused, come to Jesus. Ask him to declare the truth to you. Okay? Repent. Okay? Because if you are under the impression, okay, I want to ask something to Pastor Montgomery. Are you there, Pastor Montgomery?
I'm here.
Okay, I want to ask something to you, and I want to really put something on your heart. I love this show. I love what you're doing for the kingdom of God. I would really put it on your heart that we would love to come up with you, partner up, go out to the streets of Atlanta, and bring the gospel of Christ to ones that I don't care if you think that you stink so bad. I don't care if you think that God could never forgive you for your sins. Folks, if you believe that, go pick up my book. Go pick up the word today's church seems to be ignoring, because my testimony is in there. Go take a look at all my all the Google ads, the news reports, all the news stories that the papers made me out to be an absolute scumbag, and I was. I was people describe me as almost Satan himself, because I would go through
I would go through towns. I would go through women. I would go through every relationship in my life, and I would kill, steal, and destroy it.
Mm.
And that's exactly what I did. And I got to the point. I got to the point. Okay, one day, right before I got arrested, I cried out to God in this meek, weak attempt at God feeling sorry for myself, at God feeling sorry for me, and trying to manipulate him into forgiveness. And what I said was, God, I can't take the guilt anymore, so take me.
Mm.
Get me out of this world. I can't take it anymore.
Mm.
And I wasn't sorry for what I did. I didn't want to face the consequences. So I'd rather die. And folks, I got news for you. If I would have died right then, if he would have given me judgment, I'd be in hell right now.
Mm.
But what he did, I fell asleep crying that to God. And what he did was he gave me grace and mercy. Instead, I woke up the next morning and I said to myself, "Well, God, if you can't do it, as if he can't do it, as if there's nothing he can't do, okay?" I said, "If God, you can't do it, I'm going to do it." I walked out of my house, walked down to the center of town in Brooksville, Florida. Matter of fact, right in front of the courthouse. And I said, "You know what? I don't have enough guts to put a gun to my head. I don't have enough guts to put pills down my throat. I'm going to step out in front of traffic."
Mm.
I saw a garbage truck coming. How fitting, huh? My mom told me at 18 years old, after she had molested me for 5 years, she said,
mm.
You will amount to nothing. You will need to be a garbage. So how fitting it was that I thought I was going to throw myself in front of a garbage truck. I went to step off the curb as it came down the hill at about 55 miles an hour. My feet would not move. So much so, it made such a scene that deputies around me that were walking in to give a deposition in the courtroom came over to me and said, "Are you all right?" And I looked at them, and all I could say was, "My feet can't move. My feet won't move. My feet won't move." 10 minutes later, I found myself in the back of a patrol car, heading to jail, and then heading to prison.
Mm.
But I got news for you, okay? I got news for you. God is God. He never has changed. He never will change. He always is. He's the same as he was, ever will be, and period. He never changes. So.
Praise God.
Until we focus on the cross and give up our lives, pick up our cross, repent, and then follow him, we will never see life. Pastor
McCormick, right.
What an honor and pleasure it was to speak with you on this show, and I hope that it's turned a many years.
Oh, yes, it has. We only have about a couple of minutes left. I'm going to get with you after the program. I'm going to talk with you in reference to some of the things that you said, especially to this outreach. We only have about a couple of minutes left, so I'm going to close it out. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we thank you for the program on tonight. We thank you for Brother Matthew. We thank you for how he brought out the word. Father God, we ask right now that you touch the hearts of everyone listening. Bring revelation to the word. Put a heart of repentance within them that they will truly seek Jesus Christ in the way that the Lord says. We bless them, Lord. We come against every spirit that would bind them up, every spirit of confusion, every spirit of oppression and depression. We bind that thing up and we cast it out in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. All spirits of sickness and disease, we bind that up and we cast it out in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. We look forward to the next program. Brother Matthew, as I said, I'm going to get back with you immediately after the program, and we're going to talk in reference to the outreach. But at this time, the program is over. We look forward to hearing from you all next time. Be blessed, be blessed, be blessed.